Trevor Woods here from the Block M Podcast and affiliate of the Fan First Sports Network. It is the game week, and it's all about Ohio State. It's all about Michigan. It's all about number two versus number three in the nation. This is going to be the highest priced ticket in regular season collegiate football history. Absolutely insane, the atmosphere that's going to unfold at noon at the Big House. To preview this matchup and to get some insight into the Ohio State program, I'm speaking today with Caroline Rice from the Ozone. How are we doing today, Caroline?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Really happy to have you on. And I'm just excited, for one, to have some Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. But two, what always is part of this Thanksgiving holiday for us Ohio State and Michigan folk is the game, which makes this holiday season all the more fun and I guess nail biting too, when there's so much on the line, playoff championship atmosphere that's going to take place. Ohio State's lost the last two in this series, but once again, a juggernaut, one of the best teams in the nation, actually ranked number one at one point this season. And well, if they beat Michigan, they'll probably be number one again. So, what have you seen from Ohio State this season? Would you say they're better, more experienced than last year? How is this team trending right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that what it comes down to for Ohio State is their defense. And you can talk about the change at quarterback and establishing things offensively with Kyle McCord and Marvin Harrison. I mean, they have the offensive weapons that go, the list goes on and on, right? I mean, pick your player each week as who's made an impact on the Ohio State offense. And I think they've built around that. But really what it comes down to for me in this game is their defense. I think you look at how they played the last 2 years against Michigan and last year alone, Ohio State allowed over 250 yards on the ground. Like, I don't see that happening again. That's something Ohio State has taken personally. They've, hired the new coordinator, Jim Knowles, now in his second season with Ohio State. But their defense was essentially built for this game. He came in to be able to change their defense and win this game. And I think what it comes down to for me is that Ohio State's been playing well, and at times they've had to rely on their defense to be able to kind of secure some wins and allow their offense some time to figure it out. But really, in this game, I think what it comes down to is the changes that Ohio State has made the last 2 years, specifically on defense.
So last season was Knowles' first as defensive coordinator. And of course, there's always a bit of a transitionary period anytime new schematics are implemented. So now in his second season, the rankings for Ohio State's defense are up substantially, ranked number three in total defense in passing yards allowed. I believe they rank, yep, they rank first. So this is a multifaceted and pretty balanced defense. They do rank 84th in sacks. But my question to you about the defense, following up on what you said about what you think it's going to take to win this game for Ohio State, Jim Knowles this week also talked about explosive plays. Of course, there was a couple big runs and big passing plays that Michigan had that even Ryan Day at the conclusion of last year's 45-23 Michigan victory day talked about, some of the big plays, really a few plays here and there, decided the game. I think that is a pretty accurate assessment. So Knowles this week talked about explosive plays and last year, and basically it's such been a, such a point of emphasis not to allow those big plays to happen this year. You talked about the defense's improvement. I've outlined it a little further, but who should we be watching out for on that defensive side of the ball for Ohio State?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it really comes down to stopping the big plays. And for me, when I look at that, I look at Ohio State's play at safety. I think the corners last year had zero interceptions. And you think about that stat and how good Ohio State was, even despite that. And it's almost mind-blowing to have a cornerback room that has zero interceptions. But also, like you said, eliminating the big plays, that has been a huge focus for Ohio State all offseason. And especially when it came to that Michigan game, that is what it came down to. And you look at the difference this year, Ohio State really hasn't allowed any of those explosive plays. I think they're, I can't tell you the numbers off the top of my head, but under 40, I don't think, I mean, over 40, excuse me, I don't think there's many of those. And, before it was a couple per game for Ohio State. Oh, there's the big chunk play they're going to allow. And that was just kind of how it went week in and week out. But when you got to Michigan, you got to that higher level of talent, that's what hurt you. So I think Ohio State knows that. They're very well aware of that. They made the changes that they need to make. But to me, that's what it's going to take because, with JJ McCarthy, you have obviously the establishing run game with Blake Corum, and then, but also what JJ McCarthy can do in the passing game. It's not like, the run game isn't everything, I would say, for Michigan, where sometimes that's what this game comes down to. Don't get me wrong, I think establishing the run is going to be its own important factor for both teams. But I think just with what Michigan can do in the pass game as well, I think it's going to be about eliminating those big plays, and especially in the red zone. That's something Ohio State's been working on and been improving, stopping teams. They haven't really allowed teams to get past the 30. And when they have, teams have beat them with 50 plus yard field goals, and that's been it. So for me, for Ohio State, I think it's about keeping that mentality, keeping that identity of not letting teams get there. And a lot of that is the explosive plays and the play at safety and corner.
And here's a crazy stat for you since you mentioned red zone defense. In 2022, Ohio State ranked 125th in red zone defense. Well, this year, the exact opposite. They are one of the best in the nation, the red zone defense. They ranked 8th. So just improvements across the board. Another fun nugget is the last 21 times in this rivalry, the team that had more rushing yards won the football game. And of course, that coincided with a lot of good quarterback play. Predominantly on Ohio State side, they won most of them the past 21 years. But to your point, it's not just going to be the running game. It's what JJ McCarthy can do in the play action pass and everything else. But let's move on to the Ohio State offense, and we'll get to the passing game in a moment. But I want to talk about the running game on the Ohio State side as well. Ryan Day said this week that it's going to be so important for Ohio State to establish the run themselves. Now, TreVeyon Henderson, he was injured for most of the October slate of the schedule. He was injured on September 23rd against Notre Dame. But since Henderson's been back, the rushing attack has looked all the more explosive and versatile. He's rushed for, since he came back on October 28th against Wisconsin, he's rushed for over 120 yards in 3 of the 4 contests, who scored a touchdown in all of those games. So, how has that rushing attack looked? Because the stats, I would say, are a little deceiving when you just look at the rushing offense. They rank 84th in rushing offense. They got to be better than that number, right?
No, I think that's spot on. I think, like Day said this week, he said there's a lot of important things, but that's certainly one of them, establishing the run game. And just the history of this game and the team that is, like you said, the team that ends up on top has always been the one that's been able to establish the run. Of course, I think a lot of what Ohio State has gone through in the run game has come out of their offensive line. And that's been a work in progress. I think what you're seeing right now is an offensive line that is getting more confident. They're improving individually and then just as a unit as well. But that's been a work in progress that I think has really kind of followed how the run game has performed on Saturdays. But to me, with TreVeyon Henderson and his infusion, just him being back, it just makes the whole offense flow better. It's not necessarily, okay, he's putting up stats, he's the one scoring the touchdowns. He has that ability. But I think what you look at when he what he does for their offense, he opens things up. He opens things up in the pass game. They pass better when they can establish the run, when he has a presence on the field. So for me, it's not even about, of course, TreVeyon has to be effective. He has to pick up yards. He has that home run hitting ability, and I think, hopefully they want to see that from him on Saturday. There's been a couple games he can break away for 75 yarders, but it's really just about his presence on the field. And when Ohio State can establish the run, they can open up their pass game. And to me, that's where you see Ohio State's offense flowing, performing its best, is when the two of those are working together.
We'll move on to the passing game and a first-year starter. His third year with the program had to sit behind a great Ohio State quarterback, CJ Stroud, who is on pace to be the best rookie quarterback of all time if he keeps it up. So big shoes to fill. But McCord this season, from what I gather, as he's improved substantially since the first week of the season. What do you think about that? His stats on the year, 2,899 yards. A 66.4% completion percentage, 22 passing touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions.
I mean, that stat line alone, it says a lot. But I think from a fan's perspective in Ohio, people are tough on McCord. Like you said, he has big shoes to follow, but the expectations are so high to follow guys like Justin Fields and CJ Stroud. And you watch them do what they did with ease. And then you look at McCord, and at times fans, what is he doing? What did he see? And I think that's just the growth and development of a young guy that you kind of have to work through. It's just people's expectations for him are so high, and his expectations are for himself, right? Like he has goals. He wants to be Michigan and be the guy to come in and do that. He's been waiting his turn. We talked to him this week, and just you can tell the level of excitement that he has for just. Is his time to shine. This is, what you come to Ohio State for, especially considering his history with JJ McCarthy and kind of their whole recruitment, right? So he wants to prove that he's the guy and he can come in and do this. But I think you've definitely seen him grow a lot over the season, just in terms of his confidence. To me, lately, what I've seen improve is his footwork. I think when he is just grounded and kind of moving in the pocket better, he's becoming more patient. Things are opening up. The game is slowing down for him. So to me, the last few weeks, that's been the biggest difference is just his footwork and his confidence when you can see it's clicking. But really, when you have an offense like Ohio State, you have so many weapons, and we know Ohio State likes to share the ball. You have guys like Cade Stover, even at tight end, who are becoming more and more involved in the pass game, more than any tight end, I would say, in recent history for Ohio State. But he just has to get the ball to the playmakers. And I think that's what it comes down to is maybe there's a lot of pressure on him to do this and that and to be this and that. But really, he just has to get, the routine plays, get those done, get the ball in the hands of the playmakers and let them do their thing. And when I think they've been successful, he's been able to do that effectively, slowing things down, not trying to do too much, make the routine plays and keep the chains moving. And I think that's what it's going to come down to for Ohio State offensively with Kyle McCord.
So you mentioned Cade Stover, who has been, he's been a very impressive tight end, not only this year, but last year as well. Obviously, everybody knows him, Marvin Harrison Jr., definitely the best receiver in the nation. He'll be a top three NFL draft pick, I presume. There's Emeka Egbuka, who is phenomenal, probably going to be a first round draft pick as well. And wouldn't it surprise me if Stover's a first round draft pick when things are all said and done. They all kind of complement each other. You got a big guy in Harrison who can do pretty much everything. He can catch the short screens, he can yards after catch, but he's obviously a big body threat. You got Stover, how he can change things in the middle of the field. Then even Trayvon Henderson, he has been catching balls out of the backfield more. So, yeah, can you just kind of talk about it's kind of like the Marvel's Avengers for Ohio State. It's just kind of pick your poison. You really can't stop all of them. All you can really do is limit the damage.
No, it's exactly that. Pick your poison, right? And it's a different guy showing up each week for Ohio State. Obviously, Marvin Harrison's presence on the field does so much for that team because he's been doubled a lot this season, right? And that makes sense. If I'm a team, you have to try and stop Marvin Harrison, and you have to let Ohio State figure out who can be the guy up next, who else can make it happen. Because when you double him, you're opening things up for someone else. But I think that's what makes Ohio State's offense so dangerous is that it's not like he's the only guy. You double Marvin, but you still have Emeka Egbuka. I think he's very underrated. People have kind of, been quiet about him just since his injury. I really liked his presence in the last game against Minnesota. I think you saw what a healthy Met can do. But people kind of forget about him just because he hasn't played that much, this season. But that's really how it is with Ohio State's offense. It's just pick, okay, if you block Marvin Harrison, you take him out, he's still on the field. That still requires a team and a defense to adjust according to him. So even when he doesn't have 100 plus yards in a game, you're still designing your defense around him. And that allows Ohio State to do more offensively. Even guys like Carnell Tate, freshman that's come in and made big plays, you just don't know where the ball is going. And most of the time, it's spot on and it's caught. And that's just, credit to Brian Hartline and his staff for what they've done in developing just a huge receiver room that just feels like it's, constantly rotating talent in and out. But like you said, then there's also Cade Stover, just been so reliable for this team. You talk about his story starting on defense, playing at linebacker in the Rose Bowl, and then just to have, more of an impact in the pass game than any, tight end in recent history at Ohio State just says a lot about the kind of hard worker that he is. He's gritty. He's a farm guy. He's everything you want in a tight end. But just you never know where the ball is going to go for Ohio State with the weapons that they have. And that's what makes it so difficult for defenses because if you take one guy out, yes, you're opening it up for somebody else, but that somebody else is also pretty good.
Last one for you. You got a score prediction?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I really don't think, either team is going to score over 30. I would say it's probably a low scoring game. I think with Michigan's red zone defense and how Ohio State has maybe struggled in the red zone, I expect there to be some field goals. I would say maybe that's a tough one. That's a tough one. 30, maybe 34, 20, 28. That's a little high, but that's what my gut's telling me.
You know what? I don't think that's bad at all, considering that is actually a more lower scoring one as far as recent years in the rivalry, where Ohio State was scoring in the high 50s and even the 60s. And then Michigan,
right,
the past two seasons has gotten to the 40s. But I think you might be onto something. The defenses look really stingy, and it could be a little more similar to the Penn State Ohio State game than the Ohio State Michigan games the past few years. But Caroline Rice, thank you so much for coming on. Would you mind telling folks where they can follow your stuff on social media and everything else you do? You're definitely one of the busiest people I know.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Happy to join. Always happy to talk rivalry week. I mean, you know, we cover teams like this, and it's such a privilege to be able to have this week be all about this game. So excited for Saturday. Thanks for having me. I am on Twitter, Instagram at CarolineRice19, and you can read my work at theozone.net.
And thanks once again to Caroline Rice for coming on. But before I get out of here today, I want to talk about Manscaped. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. That's why I trust Manscaped. Their newest package contains the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth-generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also has a dual LED spotlight to provide contrast with multiple skin tones, a three-link setting comb, and perhaps best of all, it's waterproof. Also included is a travel case and even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. Join the 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for all their grooming needs and use the promo code BLOCKM20 to get free shipping and 20% off your order. Head to manscaped.com and use that promo code BLOCKM20 at checkout for 20% off your entire order. And this has been Trevor Woods from the Block M Podcast, an affiliate of the Fan First Sports Network. You can follow me on social media at Woods Football. And I'll be speaking to you at the conclusion of Michigan-Ohio State for the Post Game Reaction Podcast. Take care, Michigan and Ohio State fans.